VFW Mobile.
On it this morning.
I might have to check my antenna or something. Maybe the maybe it's coming loose or something.
Yeah, we're letting her warm up a little bit.
Yeah, turn the light on this morning. All right, well, it don't even have frost on it, but at least it'll be a little bit warmer when I drive down the road.
National Space Station flyover last night.
I didn't. I've not tried to watch it yet. I mean, shoot, usually it zips across the sky so fast, I ain't even tried. Did you see it?
Yeah, it was visible for like 5 minutes, and it was straight overhead.
Neat, I don't like that. You didn't try out the repeater by chance, did you?
No, I don't have a directional antenna.
About the ISS flying over, I get to thinking about the new repeater they got on it, but then it's always too late. I just never can take advantage of it to try it out.
Get it quick, you only see it for about 5 minutes.
Fast those things are zipping overhead. I mean, even for as big as it is, it's moving.
Totally different path than it had been being.
I think I read somewhere that I want to say everybody on board is amateur radio at this point in time. I read that somewhere. I don't know. But I could be wrong.
Four that went up, they're all hams.
Chad, I wonder why they would do that. I mean, I'm sure they're using different form of communication or something that's you know, different from just HF or whatnot. I wonder why they do that.
Have to be UHF to or VHF to get through the atmosphere.
You do something, because yeah, I mean, most all the whole reason HF propagates is because it bounces off the ionosphere. So I don't think that would work, but I don't know. I'm curious what kind of communications they would use.
Frequency we can't get on, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, you might be right, because they at least do UHF. And, I mean, whenever they talk to the schools and stuff like that. So. When we were headed to the beach, I had my radio, and it was just scrolling through, and I've got the ISS SSTV frequency programmed in. And every time they were flying over, they were transmitting different images down. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was able to decode one of them, just take my phone and lay it down and let it listen to the radio.
Oh, that's pretty good. I haven't experimented that much. Just regular, you know, radio and voice. That's all I've ever done.
It's pretty fun. I mean, considering all you need is your phone, an app, and just the app just listens to the sound coming over the radio, and it'll decode that into an image on your phone.
Yeah, I figured if it ever hit the fan, though, that stuff isn't going to be worth anything.
With that, you know, you hear a lot of people, the preppers that buy the Baofengs and stuff, and I mean, realistically, without the repeaters, I don't know what those things would do besides very short-range communication.
Pretty good. I mean, I can hit the repeater pretty decent from my house with it. That's what I started with, was a Baofeng. When I was studying, I listened to Mike and them and Ed, oh man, for a couple of months and that before I ever got my ticket.
I mean, mine definitely could hit. The first area I talked to was the Mount Mitchell repeater, and that was with my Baofeng. And I mean, they'll hit the repeaters just fine, especially at the height that, you know, like Caesars Head and Mount Mitchell are. It's definitely not hard at all. But once you go down the simplex frequencies, I don't know what the range on them is. Like, what's the range on 5 watts versus a FRS or GMRS radio?
Still going to be line of sight. So, I mean, it's, you know, 5 watts will get you, you know, it'll go 5 watts on HF will go all the way around the world. So, I mean, you know, 5 watts should be at least line of sight. You might make 20 miles if you're up on a hill.
Says I'm the antenna, man.
KN4TFW.
Antenna, you know, whatever you can gain and get out of the antenna. You know, you can build a 2-meter swale or a beam, and you can take 5 watts, and you can actually make enough gain out of it to make it as if it was 100 if you build the antenna right.
It's definitely true. And like I said, the higher you go with it, I mean, you can get a lot more range out of it.
And I got on the truck right now. I was over in Florence at the exit where you get off of 95, like you're going to the beach, and I could hear this repeater. Couldn't get back to it, but I could hear it.
I was running, where I had a good piece of coax on my antenna and the power. I could hit the repeater with 100 milliwatts.
Plus, that's crazy.
Plus, if you look at the instructions with walkie-talkies, the antenna is the name of the game, because that's why they'll tell you you don't need licenses for a lot of those things. But if you build a real good antenna, they can bust you for having more range than you're supposed to.
From both my HTs that I've got, my Baofeng and my Yaesu, that's one of the first things I got, was just getting rid of the little rubber ducky antenna. And I mean, sit in the backyard and talk to the repeaters on one of those. Hadn't been an issue so far.
Yeah, I never switched my rubber duck off of my Baofeng yet. And it's been work doing what I need, especially if I put this radio on crossband repeat. I mean, I can go anywhere in the subdivision and that, and make contact no problem.
If you don't have any capability of doing that, then you just put a good antenna on it.
I got on a truck, it's got about 5 dB gain on 2 meters.
Let's do the math. Okay, let's say if it is 5 dB, okay, let's put it right. Okay, remember, here's your rule. For every, let's say you're running 5 watts at the transmitter, if you double the power to 10, that's 3 dB, okay? So then if you double, so now you take your 5 watts now, if you go another 2 dB, that's another product on 2.5 watts. So now you've got an effective radiated power of, with that 5 watts, it's 7.5 watts. 10.5 watts, over 10 watts, because you doubled your gain. That's 3 dB. So you're over 10 watts. So, you know, 3 dB for every time you double your power.
That's crazy when you think about it that way. All right, gentlemen, I got to head on in the plant. 7-3s to both of you. Hope you have a good day. Hopefully we'll catch you on another morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear.
7-3, Andrew. Hope you have an awesome day, and I look forward to maybe catch you in the morning. KN4TFW.
My crazy cat's underneath the thing where the dishwasher's under there, playing around with a plate under there or something. I hear him moving, banging things around under there.
In trouble.
I'm crazy. Cold this morning. It was yesterday.
Colder than yesterday, according to my thermometer, but it's definitely not blowing as bad.
Bad this morning. I know yesterday morning the wind was bad. It's cold, too, just think about it. Let's say, all right, here's the funny thing. Let's say you go from, all right, so you got, let's see, what's the way? Let's say you go from 2.5 watts output to 100 watts. Now, get to a power shelf. But that's why you get these people that run 1,500 watt PV, let's say. They're not gaining that much over the 100. So power isn't the answer. His antenna is the answer.
I like to have better ears than I have mouth.
What's that? See, now I'm going to tell you another rule that people don't understand. Sometimes a good transmitting antenna is not a good receiving antenna. Things to do is build a noise-canceling antenna for HF, which is one of the things that you can do, and it helps a lot. Lots of times when the bands open up, you'll have a couple signals in your ear, and you won't hear any of the weak ones. But it's really, propagation is kind of cool. I mean, that's what's cool about HF. You never know what you're going to get.
A box of chocolates, right?
It's funny, sometimes you think that you're going to get something that does one thing, and you'll do the same communication 3-4 times, but yet the communication doesn't always work the same way with the same antenna as it did the first time.
Something real special. I got a video class I got to do at 8 to 9:30. So I got to do that today.
Classes. I remember a couple times I had to teach up. When I worked at the machine shop, I was one of the speakers at Avatech, one of the tech schools. He let me teach his class. I enjoy doing it, but sometimes teaching people, it's interesting sometimes.
Yeah, this one was more interactive. I think there was about 35 people on the call, so you had to participate for sure.
That was always pretty funny one time. When I was at the blind school, the rehab center all over New York, the teacher and I didn't get along, so I didn't comb hair, so he threw me out. So I thought I was going to put up with it. So he gave me the dumbest student they called the Moses in class. And he just figured I couldn't teach Moses how an engine works, so how points work. So I sat down lunchtime. I told him, I said, now I'm still not combing my hair. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I just taught a student you couldn't teach, so you tell me whether I can do the job or not. He drew a picture and didn't let the kids see it, feel it. So I took the engine, put the piston in, and said, here, this is what it does. And I explained to him how the points work, and he didn't quite get it. I said, here, put your finger on these points, and I explained. And he got zapped. I said, see, when the point's over, you got bit, didn't you? See how they work?
Yeah, I remember those days.
It's not just a set of points. What people don't understand is the spark plug's a big capacitor, and since it's a capacitor, that's why you have to. The voltage charges the ionized mixture in the gap, and that's what it does. It's a big capacitor. That's why the wider the plug gap is, with a hotter spark, the better off you are. I've been by one time. Oldville 391 had a racing mag, and I was playing with it one day. We were playing, having a drink at the bar when I got back to work. I wanted to see how much nuts that thing had, and I spun it. Let me tell you, I'll never do that again. I never forgot that shock for a while.
Shocked by some of that old stuff, you tend to not do it again.
Racing mags, which probably had 60,000-70,000 volts or better. So when it bit, it bit. 5,000 volts is just a little whack. It'll take your fingers a little. Sorry.
He's probably 15 out.
Too bad.
Pretty decent this morning yourself.
I probably have to hold it exactly right. Power supply leads. I want to get one after the end of the month and put it on my power supply and a capacitor and see if it'll bear it, see if that don't stop that. Sorry, hi, I'm going to jump out of there. I'll catch you in the morning. Okay, I'm flying out to 73 before the final overheats.
3, I hope to catch you in the morning, and you have an awesome day. KN4 TFW.